you, brother. Okay, please have a seat. We're going to get set up here, get our recording, so just a second here. Welcome you guys on the conference call line. And of course you folks here that I see your beautiful faces. So really thankful to have the opportunity to share God's Word with you this morning. Man, oh man. What I heard in the manifestations and some of the things Al was inspired to share really goes along with what I want to present to you from God's Word. Well, it's a new year, isn't it? So what do you think about with the new year? What did a lot of people start planning to do in the new year? Yeah, resolutions. We're going to resolve to do something, right? And to do that, usually you go back in your mind and remember some of the things that occurred the previous year and start considering what I should be doing in the future. And you come up with certain resolutions and ideas and thoughts that would be a blessing for your life. And we do this when we think about our workplace, recreation, maybe as we're taking a checkup from the neck up, thinking things through, we take a checkup from the neck down and says, maybe I need to go on a diet. So, but most important, I hope you're considering the aspect, most important aspect of your life, and that's the spiritual part of your life, right? There's a lot of things we want to think about, but the most important is who you are in Christ, your connection with the Heavenly Father, right? And we are complete in Him, right? Colossians 2:10. Can you get any more complete? Not really, no. So there's nothing more you're going to get from God, really, in light of who you are already in Christ. So it's a matter of using what you have, remembering what you have, and then using that what you have, because you're complete in Christ. You have it all. You know, if somebody gave you $1 million, would you stuff it under the mattress and that's it? And say, hey, I got $1 million. Hopefully you'd use it, right? Well, spiritually, we're billionaires, aren't we? Do we stuff it in the corner? Do we only use it once a week on Sundays? No, we want to use it all the time. Because we are loaded spiritually. We really are. This Christ in us makes all the difference in our life. Let's go to 2 Timothy, in chapter 1 in 2 Timothy, okay? Oh, actually, I'm sorry. If you went a little too far, that's good. Keep going, because I really want to go to 1 Peter 2, I'm sorry. 1 chapter 2, verse 9. And I want to share this verse from the ESV. Some of you might have that translation. Some of you have the King James, whatever. But this is the ESV. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Is this sounding good already? You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. Have you ever watched PBS and they show you the, the English countryside, these vast grounds and these castles, and people are lords and they take you on a tour of the castle, and you're going, wow, I wish I could be a lord or a duke or a knight or something like this and have all this stuff. But what does God's Word say? You're a royal priesthood. You're a chosen race. You're a holy nation. That's pretty good, huh? This all pertains to us and who we are. A people of His own possession. It says in the King James, we're a peculiar people, right? What that word really means is that we have been a people that have been bought. And who paid the price for us? Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ. He bought us. You cannot have anything more valuable than the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did and accomplished for you, to die for you. And thankfully, God raised Him from the dead. And we have what we have now, that gift of Holy Spirit abiding within. So I love this verse because it tells us so much of who we are. And what are we going to do with that? Did the verse stop there? No, the word that, okay, is the next word, that you may, look out, something's going to happen where we could do something in light of being a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, and a people of His own possession, so that we can proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. We get to brag for God. Yeah, what a privilege and opportunity we have to stand for our Heavenly Father. Did He stand for you? Did He call you? Amen. Why not stand for Him? So, let's go to 1 Timothy now, okay? Or 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. So what can we do to proclaim the excellency of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? And there's some great insight here on what we can do. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Now Timothy, this book is authored by God, obviously. Paul wrote it, and he's writing to Timothy. But I don't think God minds that we read in on this personal letter to Timothy. Do you? He had it in his Bible. He put it in the scriptures so that we could learn something. And there's some valuable truths for us to pick up on. Well, let's go. Verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in who? Yeah, Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son. Now, was Timothy his natural son? No, but he just took him to heart, made him a big part of his life, Paul did, and he was like to him a beloved son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. All the time, praying for his beloved son, Timothy. You know, we've got people that we love and care for, so we can pray for them. Is prayer important? Is that a big deal? It's in the scriptures. Yeah, Paul's into it. And we can be into it too. So our prayer life is so vital and wonderful. Okay, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee. Now, what is unfeigned faith? What other words for unfeigned maybe you have in your scriptures? Genuine? Okay. Not fake, enduring, genuine, okay? So what was he so concerned about was the great believing, the great believing. He remembered the great believing that Timothy had, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Okay, verse 6. This is a big verse here. And this is the key verse of my sharing this morning. Wherefore, as a result of what we read here, the great love heart, the prayer, remembering, the believing, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God, which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Timothy had a gift ministry. within the body of Christ. But he also had the gift of Holy Spirit within him, just as you and I have, right? And what was the exhortation that Paul was telling Timothy? Stir it up. Stir it up. You got it. You have everything. So let's stir that thing up. You know, Jeannie's famous for many, many things, but for her chicken soup, right? Some of you are nodding, and some of you are wishing you had it now, probably. But there is so much in this chicken soup, but when it's on the pot, on the burner there, you turn it, you cooked it, you turn it down, what happens? Everything kind of settles down to the bottom. So when you want to eat all the goody chicken parts and the veggies and stuff like that, what do you have to do? Stir it up. Stir it up. This is the exhortation. To stir up what you have, what God has given you. Stir it up. This is what we want to do this year, is stir up the gift of God that we have. Now this word stir up in the Greek is a word that I'm not even going to try to pronounce. But it means to stir in flame, to rekindle. It means to light a match to it, get it burning again. You know, we say, let's get on fire for the Lord. That's kind of what this is saying here. You know, I think a lot of Christians are like, you know, you go camping, you have a beautiful fire at night, and then everybody goes to bed in the morning, there's little embers, right? Maybe a little warm embers. So what do? You rekindle it. You get that fire going again. That's what we want to do. We want to stir up who we are in Christ. See what God has for us this year. We want to stand together, right, on God's Word. Is there anything better to stand on? No. No, God's Word is what we want to stir up in our life and stand on. Well, verse 7, for God hath not given us. Okay, here, Paul's reminding Timothy here of something. For God has not given us the what? Spirit of fear. And this word fear, I think in the Greek, means cowardness. And some of you might have that in your translations. We're not cowards. God didn't make us cowards. Cowards are ones who are afraid to get up and fight the battle, right? You know, in a war, if somebody does, oh, I'm not going up in the front lines, not me. You know, we say that person's a coward. But we want to take a stand for our God, right? God didn't give us the spirit of fear or cowardness, but what did He give us? All right, take a look at it. Power. Power. You're not going to the front lines with a little pea shooter. You got a big old bazooka, right, with power. God's power in you. So we have the power of God and of love and a sound mind. We don't do stupid things, right? We have a sound mind. God's given us the ability to think and listen to Him and walk on how He directs our steps. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord. You know, we're not ashamed of that, are we? Our Lord, we'll talk about our Lord any day to anybody, right? He's the one that saved us, that gave us life. Nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. You know, these are difficult times. Things are going on that are not a bunch of fun, maybe. But we deal with them. With what? The power of God that we got in us. That Spirit of God we have. So we want to really light that thing up. Remember who we are in Christ. Stir up who we are and really set some wonderful goals for what we can do in the body of Christ. You know, I hope here pretty soon, in a couple of weeks, I want to have a meeting of the family of believers here and talk about the new year. And what we can do together to move God's Word. So we'll get the information out when that will be. But I think it'll be a good time for us to do something like this. To just get the family together, have a family meeting, and so that we can work together. The old adversary wants to separate us, doesn't he? He wants us to socially distance, and not only 6 feet, but totally not even fellowship one with another. So we got to see what God wants us to do and follow His lead. All right? So be there thou, therefore not ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of me His prisoner, but be thou partakers of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our words, but according to His own purpose and grace. Who purposed all this? God did. God did. And it's His grace and how He functions and works. According to His own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Man, oh man, talk about planning ahead. God had us figured out before the world began. So are you special? Amen. Amen. So we want to do something with who we are. We are special. God has something great for you and mine. So we want to stir up that gift in us. We want to be able to hear from our Father and say, Dad, what do you want me to do this year? What is my calling in the body of Christ? What can I do to magnify you? Good thing to do, huh? Amen. Verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death, hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher to the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I believed. Paul knows who he believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You know, we make commitments. God inspires us. You think God's going to forsake us after He inspires us to do something in the body of Christ? No, no way. What did we hear in the manifestations? Come to Him. I thought that was so neat. Yeah. And remember, He said that twice in the second manifestation, to remember who you are. Remember. That's what I'm telling you. The message, remember who you are in Christ and stir it up. Get your chicken soup mixed up. Get it all together. Put it on full burner. Cook it. All right. All right. Verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. And verse 14, that good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Spirit which dwelleth in us. You know, we keep it because of that Spirit that we have in us. You know, the church at this time, in the early church, in the beginning with Pentecost starting it, you know, it had a great rise for a number of years, but then at this point when this was written, things were kind of going downhill. Christianity was becoming a religion. It was being mixed with philosophies and things from man's mind. Paul was really reaching out to Timothy to get it together. You know, verse 15, we didn't read it, but the next verse after 14, it says, those have forsaken me. This was a turning point of unfathomable proportions. And it was a critical time in the movement of God's Word. So what was Paul telling Timothy? He was telling him things that he needed to really take to heart, to mind, to use what he has in Christ. So we can learn from this. We can stir up our minds and what God has given us and called us to do. Oh, Satan's pretty tricky out there, isn't he? He's very deceptive. He gets us to mistrust everything now. Can you believe politicians today? Can you believe doctors and things you see on the internet? I mean, it's getting to the point you can't believe anybody. Because you hear all these misinformation and stuff going on. Whoa! The old devil is doing a trip. But he can't touch the Word of God. He can't touch the Word of God living in your life. So that's what we want to stir up. Who we are in Christ. We're going to stand on God's Word. We know there's no misinformation there. We know that it's the truth. And we can stake our life on it. So, and these are the times we need to do that. These are very critical times. Because people don't realize what's going on, I don't think. How much the devil has really pushed the button to get us separated, to get us to mistrust everybody and everything. But you and I, we can trust the Word. And that's why we need to work together and love each other to the point that we can move ahead with what God has called us to do together. I want to go to 1 Peter. So if you want to go there, let's do that, okay? Actually, we're going to go to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. And what I'm going to share with you is from a resource book by Walter Cummins, and it's called A Journey Through the Acts and Epistles, Volume 2. And what Walter Cummins does here, he has the King James Version of the section of scriptures he's looking at, then he has his working translation. Under that, a third part is his notes and kind of how he gets his working translation. I think many of you are aware or know of Walter Cummins and how a wonderful researcher and a man of God he is. I mean, I think he's probably one of the greatest researchers of God's Word on the face of this earth, along with Jan and others. But let's go to verse 12. Chapter 1, 2 Peter. Let's get this right. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. Wherefore, I intend to remind you, working translation I'm sharing with you, to remind you about these things constantly, although you know them and are established in this present truth. Now, what is he talking about? About these, to remind. Oh, we're talking about remembrance here, aren't we? But he says, I intend to remind you about these things constantly. What was he constantly reminding them of? Well, the previous verses kind of tell us that, right? And one of those previous verses is verse 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust, and on and on. So we have been given exceeding great and precious promises. We have great resources. So, hey, he's reminding them of that. Although you know them and are established in this present truth. Verse 13, I consider it right, as long as I am in this tabernacle, as long as I'm in this body, to awaken you by a reminder. Now this word awaken you in your King James is stir, right? Stir up. Well, this is just a different Greek word. It's not the same one we read in Timothy. This Greek word means to wake up, arouse somebody to get them up. You know, you're asleep at the switch, so wake up, wake up. So this is what he's saying. I consider it right, as long as I'm in this tabernacle, to wake you up, to remember who you are, knowing that the putting away of my tabernacle is imminent. even as our Lord Jesus Christ indicated to me, Peter's life. He was getting to the end of his life at this point. Pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. I'm going to skip down to the last verse 18. This is a verse, let's see. No, I'm sorry. No, that's good. We're going to skip there. Your homework is to read the rest of that chapter, okay? But I want to move on to chapter 3, all right? Chapter 3. Let's go to chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and then we're going to look at verse 1 here, all right? Verse 1. Beloved, this is now the second epistle I am writing to you, okay? Again, I'm looking at the working translation here. In them, both epistles, I am awakening your genuine mind or your way of thinking by a reminder. Now, again, in the King James, what is that awakening word? Stir up, isn't it? Stir up. But it's that Greek word to wake up, wake up. Okay? So here, a second time, getting you to wake up by a reminder. To remember, verse 2, the words which were spoken by the holy prophets and the commandment of the Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Know this first, that in the last days mockers will come with mockery, walking according to their own cravings and saying, where is the promise of his coming? In fact, since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning to creation. You know, to verse 8, jump to verse 8. Beloved, do not let this one thing escape your notice, that one day, you know, where is God? That's the big question. And the response back is verse 8, beloved, do not let this one thing escape your notice, that one day with the Lord is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not delaying the promise, as some consider it a delay, but he is long-suffering towards you, not wanting any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Wow. God wants all men saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, doesn't he? Let's go to verse 13. Nevertheless, according to what he promised, we look for a new heaven and a new earth in which dwells, which justice dwells. Verse 14, wherefore, beloved, as you look for these things, put forth a diligent effort so that you may be found without spot and without blemish in him in peace. Verse 17, jump down there. Again, the working translation, you therefore, beloved, since you have foreknown these things, watch so that you are not led astray by the delusion of the lawlessness one and fall from your own steadfastness. Instead, verse 18, key verse here, verse 18, instead, grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and unto the day of the age. Amen. Right? Pretty heavy stuff going on here with the church kind of going downhill. But we want to wake up! Wake up! Stir that pot. Use who we are in Christ. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Yeah, he's the one. He's the one that counts. So in conclusion, may we heed the exhortation to rekindle our minds as well as wake them up to who we really are in Christ and what God has called us to do in these days. We want to be our best for the Heavenly Father, so that we can proclaim the excellency of Him who called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. Let us rekindle and awaken our minds so we can successfully stand together on God's Word. Okay? I'd like to have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your wonderful calling in our life, that we can be our best for You, Father, that we can recognize the value of our lives in the body of Christ, and then live it with great joy in our hearts, knowing that we're doing Your will, and that we're doing the things that You would want us to do, that You've inspired us to do. So I pray for the family of believers here, that and those that have called in, that we can stand together on Your Word and move forth this year, holding forth the words of life. Thank You, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Thank You, Bob.